Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Vasilios, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Quest Holding conference call and live webcast to present and discuss the 3 months 2024 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Quest Holding management. Gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alexandros Roustas, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holding. And like every quarter, I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis, and our Deputy CEO and CFO, Mr. Markos Bitsakos. Today, we are here to present you the first quarter of 2024 financial results and answer all your questions. Now, we'll give the microphone to Mr. Markos Bitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon. I am Markos Bitsakos, Quest Group Deputy CEO and CFO. To start with, based on the seasonality that we have, today we are presenting the weaker quarter of the year. Moreover, during the first quarter of 2024, on the EBITDA and EBT level, we had to deal with a lower gross margin of Apple products associated with the new Apple and iSquare wholesaling distribution agreement and the absence of last year government support for the replacement of climate devices. These two elements were the most substantial headwinds for Quest Group consolidated results in the first quarter of the year, especially in EBITDA and earnings before tax. As we have repeatedly said in our previous communications, this decline of first quarter EBITDA and earnings before tax will be smoothened over partially during the second quarter, and eventually we foresee the year-over-year increase to substantiate over the third and the fourth quarter of the year. Moving into the numbers, in the three-month period of 2024, the total consolidated revenues reached 303 million, increased by 6% versus last year. This growth derives largely from IQT Romania, which started operation mid-March of last year. Consolidated EBITDA, amounting 18.6 million, is lower by 4.2% versus last year. Consolidated earnings before tax, amounting 11.7 million, dropped by 14.4% year over year, for the reasons explained earlier. Earnings after tax and non-controlling interest reached 8.5 million, lower than the related quarter of 2023 by 15%. Quest Group ended up this quarter with a net debt of circa 30 million euros compared to 17 million net debt by the end of 2023. This is the usual trend we experienced during the first half of the year, every single year, having no surprises. Now let me pass you over to Alexandros to give us the sector overview.
Thank you, Marco. Now diving deeper into our segments, we observe that the commercial activity segment, consisting of InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, Quest Online, and several newcomers, namely ClimaQuest, YEV, Focus, Team Candy, and IQT Cyprus, grew by 5.4% at the sales level, while EBT decreased by 46.6% year over year. Lower profitability is mainly driven by squeezed gross margins in the Apple ecosystem, lower contribution of Klima sales after the termination of last year's subsidies program, and by higher financing costs due to the high Euribor and debt. In the IT service sector consists of mainly Unisystems and Company Intelli. So the sales of the sector improved by roughly 10%, while its EBT augmented by roughly 3%. Postal Services, which is ACS, grew by roughly 3.4% in sales and by roughly 1% in EBT, Growth is mainly driven by the rate of expansion of e-commerce, which was lower during the first 3 months. Last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales also grew by 3.6%, while EBT shrank by 9.2% due to higher depreciation and financial costs. Now let me pass over to Apostolos to provide the outlook.
Good afternoon from me too. I'm Apostolos Georgantzis, Quest Group CEO. As has already been foreseen in our previous conference call, though revenue grew in all our segments during the first quarter, profitability was weaker year over year. We estimate, however, that this trend will reverse and profitability will improve during the rest of the year. April has already shown us have shown some positive first signs towards these trends. In more detail, per sector, the outlook for the whole year is the following. Regarding the commercial activity sector, for the full year 2024, we estimate single-digit growth in sales and EBT to be at the same levels as last year or slightly lower, mainly due to the trends that also affected the first quarter. This includes the interest rate, the cost of interest, the lower Apple margins, as well as the lower Klima sales, as explained already by Alexandros. Regarding the second sector, which is the IT services sector, this sector is continuing to be positively affected by the strong demand in IT services, while it has a high backlog of signed projects, which exceed 500 million, and sales growth and improved profitability is estimated for the whole 2024. Now going on to the postal sector and ACS, our estimations for the whole year include growth in sales and profitability at a similar or higher pace than the e-commerce growth. Finally, for the fourth sector, which is the renewable energy production sector and Quest Energy, our estimation for the whole year is for a mild growth driven by the new investments. On a consolidated base, we are reaffirming our earlier estimation for the whole year 2024, anticipating a mid-single-digit increase in both revenue profitability. Quest Group current cash position is solid, with above 300 million in cash and available credit lines, allowing us to continue applying planned growth investments and to endure any hardships. Having this financial ability, we're also in pursuit of suitable M&As for our group in order to further propel our growth. Now, let me pass back to Alexandros.
Okay, that was a brief overview of the first quarter of 2024, as well as the outlook for the full year. We are now happy to take your questions.
The first question comes from the line of Zviriadi Natalia with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. I was wondering what was the reason behind the IT services drop in the EBITDA margins at the EBITDA level. I can see in the EBT level the number was higher, but at the EBITDA it was a bit lower with a 100 bips, almost 100 bips lower margin. So I was wondering if this is something we should see reversing going ahead in the IT services. And I also have a question on the commercial products segment. If you could provide some more color on the running rates of the Apple, Xiaomi, products, how is this going? You said April was better, but how should we think about this in terms of the full year?
Hi, Natalia. This is Marcos Bitsakos. As far as the first question about the EBITDA margin of IT services, the reason behind the small decline, let's say, on the percentage is that Unisystems, which is the main driver of this sector, this segment, had a lower margin because of increased sales in hardware. There are There were a lot of IT projects that had associated big volumes of, at least higher volumes than last year on hardware. So the hardware margin is very thin. That's the reason why you see this drop.
So probably this will change as we move ahead and projects are being implemented.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
And Natalia, this is Alexandros. About Xiaomi and Apple sales, the news are good. Xiaomi sales are high and significantly higher than last year since the beginning of the quarter, since the beginning of this year. Regarding Apple sales, they are still up, not at the rates that they were the previous years, but we see that as the year moves on, sales are improving. So we are very optimistic about Apple as well, which is again, I repeat, higher than it was last year, higher than last year.
Okay, great. Thank you for that.
The next question comes from the line of Kalogeropoulos Yannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen, and good evening. I have a couple of questions. The first one regards the increased working capital requirements that we noticed during the Q1 of 24 results. When do you expect this to reverse? I mean, the working capital to diminish and come down again to the normal operating levels, should that be expected towards Q4 of the year as it is the normal business? That's the first question. The second one relates to any potential developments on the front of ACS sale. The third question has to do with your capital expenditure programmed and expected for the full year of 24. And to get it again clear on the consolidated outlook, you mentioned for a mild mid-single-digit growth across all lines of sales, EBITDA and EBT. So you see a reversal of this minus 15% that we saw on the net income line of the first quarter. You still stick with your expectation of this trend reversing in the forthcoming quarters, that's Q2, Q3, and Q4, so sending it to a mid-single-digit growth towards the end of the year. Is that correct? Thanks a lot.
Hi, Yannis. This is Markos Vitsakos speaking again. First question about the working capital increase. The reason behind this was mainly the Romania expansion for InfoQuest, selling the Xiaomi products, which absorb quite big, let's say, amount of working capital. And as far as the trend throughout the year, I would say that you're going to see exactly the same pattern, exactly the same trend, let's say, that, like last year. So it's going to be smoothed out mainly in the last quarter of the year. It will start diminishing in Q3, and we will have exactly the same impact in Q4 like the previous years. Now, as far as the capital expenditures for the whole year, we have planned in our budget a capex of a little bit more than 40 million euros. 30% of this capex is associated to ACS, another 30% to Quest Holding for potential new acquisitions, and 20% for Unisystems. The remaining is spread among all other subsidiaries. Let me remind you that in the first quarter of the year, the capex was only 3.9 million versus 3 million in last year, in the same quarter of last year.
Hi, Yannis Apostolos, to go to the next two questions. The first one was regarding whether we have any development or any news on the ACS sale. The situation is that we don't have any development or any news to that respect. As we mentioned already in our previous call, and the situation that we have had interest in the past and today from several potential investors, and we are under, let's say, examining, evaluation, any serious investment proposal, considering the interest of our shareholder and the employees of our group. If in the future we're going to have something that is going to be binding, this is going to be announced appropriately according to the law. Now, regarding the next question was regarding the outlook. You understood well our previous during our previous call, we gave a guidance about the first half that was going to be weak, and you've seen the results for the first quarter, in which the quarter was weak. We expect a gradual improvement during the second quarter and the second half of the year to be better than last year. And therefore, overall, the year to move in sales, EBITDA and EBT in middle single-digit growth versus the last year. Already in April, April was a very good month for us. And we've seen positive trends towards what we what is our estimation for the whole year. I don't know whether this covers the questions you made, or you want any more, anything more to be clarified.
No, just to get a better picture on the consumer product segment. You don't see any impact from on consumption, on consumer consumption, in your areas of interest. I mean, in the electronics, in the Apple ecosystem, Apple handsets, Apple smartphones, Apple tablets, Xiaomi, whatever. There is no impact in consumption.
Hi, Yanni. We definitely see that the consumption this the first quarter in consumer electronics is not that good. The insights we have from the companies that measure the consumption in consumer electronics, it is lower than last year for several reasons. One of the reasons is the subsidy programs for white consumer goods that we had last year, but not this year. However, overall, we see that we managed to grow even at that single-digit pace our consumer goods sales, and we believe that in some cases we also gain market shares. So the helicopter view is that we increase sales in a rather declining market.
Okay, Alexandre, thanks a lot. Very helpful.
The next question comes from the line of Messin Thibault with Gay-Lussac Gestion. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, please go on.
Thank you. Wondering a few questions regarding ACS. Obviously, I suppose Q1 is a traditionally low quarter. The new hub is the new hub already working, right? And because obviously you've added a lot of capacity, but the growth is for now least low single digit. How should we expect the ramp up of the new hub and the impact obviously on the margins? Because for now, you have the cost of the new hub, but you don't have it fully utilized in terms of capacity. So where should we see the trend going into the end of the year and potentially more next year?
Yes, this is Apostolos. Thank you for the question. The new hub has been already about a year, a bit more in operation. We have increased depreciation costs, as you know, from the investment, which was close to 50 million. We already experienced some benefits during the last 2 years, and these benefits mostly come to the payroll, which doesn't increase as fast as revenue. However, so far, the market hasn't grown heavily. Therefore, e-commerce, which is the market which is affecting a lot this company, has been very close to zero over the last 2 years, and even during the first quarter wasn't so strong. It was maybe from zero to between 0 and 5% the movement of this market, maybe most possibly close to zero. Therefore, we see that still the market is not growing so far, and the economies of scale efficiencies that will be brought by these investments will show more and more as we grow the volumes and the revenues. At the current level, it won't make any significant difference unless we grow revenue. We expect, however, that the revenue from e-commerce is gradually going to pick up as, let's say, inflation also is getting stabilized and consumption hopefully improves. So we expect additional efficiencies to come as business grows further, and the more it grows, the bigger the benefits, the bigger the efficiencies of the automation achieved.
Thank you. And if I can add something, so you mentioned obviously 0 to 5% growth in Q1. I suppose the same for last year. Does that mean you're taking market share in the courier business as well, with regards to obviously better service due to the new sorting hub? And yes. Also, could you please provide a comment on what do you think is the actual utilization rate of the new hub right now?
Yeah, the you're very right. We our estimation is that we gain from our intelligence in the market is that we gain some market share because the market is not really moving. Therefore, even a slight increase like the one we had during the first quarter give us some market share, increase in market share. And the utilization is still low, is of the order of a third, let's say, of the actual capacity of the hub. And this is an investment we've done for many years ahead. So it's not just for the next couple of years. It will bring us, let's say, efficiencies for and increased capacity and capacity availability, actually, for the next 10 years, we believe at least. And we're also proceeding in investments, and the service we offer to the market hopefully is better to other respects as well, not just because of the central hub.
Very clear, thank you. And
the benefits as the market grows faster in the future is going to be the capacity and efficiency achieved due to this investment.
Very clear, Apostolos. Thank you. And if I can add another question with regards to the obviously the M&A policy. First, maybe on the renewable segment, I know that you were a bit more active, let's say in 2021, 2022. I know there is a lot of problematics into connecting the photovoltaic panels to the grid in Greece. So what is your plan currently regarding the development of the renewable segment? And more general, what are the current expectations in terms of M&A for 2024? Thank you.
Hi, this is Marco speaking. As far as the energy sector, for answering your question, you said correctly that we are a little bit skeptical. Starting from last November or December, we are in a rather still position, let's say. We don't do any new acquisitions because There is this problematic situation with the connection of the photovoltaic parks, and we are still waiting after 16 months for seven small photovoltaic parks of 3.5 megawatts in total to be connected to the grid. So this makes us a little bit cautious about how we're going to proceed. Although we have a placeholder for potential new acquisition in the energy sector, as we speak, we don't see any opportunity, let's say, that will convince us to proceed with new acquisition. But it remains to be seen how the whole market will evolve over the next months. I don't know if I'm if I answer your question.
Yes, and on the other segment,
we are not very keen in new acquisitions.
Renewables or in general?
Only for Quest Energy. I'm talking about only Quest Energy.
Yeah, this is Apostolos. Just to adapt what Marcos just said, is that we are a bit cautious in energy, but in the other sectors, we're quite active in pursuing M&A's cases. Therefore, we could see an M&A from another sector, most probably rather than from Quest Energy during the next months or a year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgadzis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Dear all, we would like to thank you for your participation and interest in our company and its prospects, and hope to see you again in our next update for the 6th month in September. Have a nice afternoon. Thank you.